Now, in this chapter, we will talk about service marketing for the retail industry, for the retail sector. We've discussed the importance of service marketing, marketing research, understanding customer expectations, and making strategies to increase customer loyalty, satisfaction, and reduce churn. We've discussed about customer recovery strategies. Here in this chapter, we will discuss how can retail businesses market themselves. So service marketing for retail businesses. Now, retail businesses involve products. Now, you would say that if you walk into a retail store, physical or online, what you're buying is a physical product. But retailing in itself is a service business, right? You're bringing products from a manufacturer and you're selling it to a customer. So retailing is facilitating and enabling a buy transaction from the manufacturer or a distributor to the customer. So retailing is a service business. What's being dealt, what's being passed on is a physical product. So how does service marketing or service strategy work in the retail industry? So in retailing, the type of business in terms of goods or service category which the company would be retailing. So it could be retail of goods. It could also be retail of services, right? For example, if you go on an online e-commerce website, for example, Myntra, right? Myntra is retailing or e-tailing, electronically retailing clothes or accessories, right? If you want to walk into a Big Bazaar or a DMart, they are retailing physical products. But if you go on to a travel website, they are retailing services, right? They are retailing or selling insurance or travel, for example, travel packages, flights, or hotel stays, travel insurance from different service providers. So retailing could be either goods or services. So first, as a retailer, as a retail company, you need to have two things well articulated, well defined. First is a mission statement. Second is your vision statement. These two give form to your service strategy. The mission statement is a short, concise statement that describes what the organization will strive to bring about. So what's your mission of existence? What does the company want to achieve? And the vision statement attempts to describe the proposed future, what the organization hopes to be. For example, to become the biggest retail portal in India or to have 1,000 retail stores across India. So that's a vision for the company's future, and mission is the reason you are in a business. So what's your mission? What brings you? Why you are doing something that you are? Both these put together help the owners, the team, define and articulate their strategy to customers and shareholders. Now, customer or target market understanding is very important because retailing is a huge market. Now, you sell from plastics to clothes to household goods and even services. It's a huge market. And to be able to market it well, as we discussed in the marketing research lecture, you need to be clearly defining who is your target customer, who are you selling to, right? Retail stores, for example, selling groceries could have different target customers. One could be a general store selling all sorts of groceries. One could be only dealing in organic products. So both the retail stores would have different customer segments. One would be for everybody, people who are looking for value products, low price. One, the organic store would be for more health conscious and for a premium category of customers who are willing to pay higher, pay more, but are looking for organic and healthier versions of regular products. So it's important that you define your customers. So you also need to define the role statement, which are the hows. Now, how do you want to go and implement something? The mission statement focuses on results and outcomes, but the role statement tells your team how to go about achieving the mission statement. So if you're about making online purchase easy for customers, for example, if that's your mission statement, a very simple one, but if you want to start a new online store because you felt that the existing ones like Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra, or eBay are not very easy, customer friendly. So you want to make the online buying experience simpler, easiest. Now that's a mission statement. How do you go about doing that? That's where the role statement comes into picture. So how do you simplify online shopping? For example, you may want to make online shopping accessible, easy to people living in villages where internet speed is not sufficient or not as good as in the urban centers. That's your mission statement. You want to be the go-to online shopping website for people living in Indian villages. That's a good mission statement. But how do you want to achieve that? So how do you give that clarity to your team? How do you want to deliver on that service promise that you want to be the easiest, the preferred online shopping website for people living in Indian villages? So how do you solve that problem? That's the role statement. So set long-term and short-term objectives for sales and profit, market share, your brand image, and so on. Take stepwise goals, but also have your long-term picture, the vision statement clear, well articulated. That's where you finally eventually want to be, and then revisit your vision statement. Then you also need to develop a sustainable competitive advantage. You need to have a competitive advantage, and it needs to be sustainable for you to be able to stay in business and not lose on the competitive advantage. So this refers to developing something which stays over and helps you beat the competition over a longer period of time. Because if you're going to be competitive, say only for a period of 3 months, and then your competitors may be able to beat you in your own game, it does not make sense to be in a business or start a business. You want to have a competitive advantage which will give you a clear runway for a longer period, say year, 2 year, 5 years, even 10 years, depending upon the barriers of entry to the business. That gives you enough runway to plan for the next phase where you again launch new features, new benefits, new values that takes you again a few steps ahead of your competition. So you plan and you develop a sustainable competitive advantage. And that brings us to a very well-known strategy known as the SWOT analysis. SWOT is an acronym, stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So this allows a check on key parameters. As I said, strengths, which the organization has. So what are your resources, knowledge of the market? For example, if you are, let's talk about quick commerce, for example, right? We all order groceries and apparel and electronics online. Recently, we've seen a shift where there have been new entrants promising 10-minute deliveries, right? Now that's their competitive advantage. They want to ensure that if I order grocery as a customer, I get my groceries in 10 minutes. Now to deliver on that promise, you need to have good technology. Technology that is able to redirect to the right store, which is in close proximity. Technology that is able to track inventory at all the stores. Technology that is able to pick the right delivery person who is closest to the customer's location, who is closest to the inventory, the store from where the goods have to be picked up. So this technology becomes key. And along with technology, you need to have an adequate number of store partners. You need to have inventory. You need to have a delivery person, the guys, the resources. So all that become your strength. So if your technology is the best, if you have the best software, algorithm, the code, that becomes your strength. So what are your strengths as a service organization? So after you know your strengths, you also need to check on the weaknesses, which is opposite to the strength, but could be the reason why your competitors may beat you and acquire a larger market share. So if you're running a quick commerce company like a Zepto or a Blinkit, you have your strengths in terms of technology, store partners, or delivery people, but what are your weaknesses? What could ensure or what could make you fail in your mission statement and promise to your customers and shareholders? Then you need to look for opportunities. Opportunities are primarily the opportunities which you have identified for growing in your market, in your segment, for acquiring more market share. So again, if Zepto, for example, is an online grocery store and develops a fleet of delivery partners delivering groceries from stores within 10 minutes to customers, what other opportunities does the company have if they can leverage the technology, their manpower, the network? What additional lines of business can they get into? What more value in terms of products, services, features can they provide their customers? And finally, you need to look at the threats, which would be competitors, government regulations. For example, again, talking about quick commerce, ever since Zepto or Zomato announced Blinkit, there has been a lot of hue and cry online about safety of the riders, right? To ensure a 10 or a 20 minute delivery, a delivery person has to rush through traffic first to reach the store, pick up the stuff, go to the customer's place and deliver within the promised time. But that may become a cause for a reason to hurry and ride without caution, right? They may jump signals, for example. And that may be a cause for the rider's safety. He may meet with an accident. So people have been complaining about it, for the need of it. Now suppose if too many people start complaining about it, if people start writing to municipal corporators or the state government, or start tweeting about it, write a letter to the prime minister or the home minister, somewhere the government may think that, okay, let's try to regulate this. And they may pass a new regulation that companies are not allowed to commit less than 30 minutes of delivery time, for example. Government can pass a resolution. That becomes a threat to a company who has entered into quick commerce, because the larger competitors are already delivering in 30 minutes or more. So if you are banned or if you are disallowed from advertising and promoting a 10-minute delivery, that takes away your advantage. That takes away the strength that you have, and it makes it difficult for you to acquire new customers and retain existing customers as they move on to their existing suppliers or larger competitors. So you need to know your strengths. What gives you your competitive advantage? What is something that you are best at or you are good at? What are your weaknesses that you need to improve upon? What are the opportunities that you can leverage to increase both your market share and wallet share? Market share is more people from your segment buying from you. Wallet share is the percentage of business that you get from a customer from amongst similar providers. For example, if there are 100 people who can order online for quick grocery delivery and 30 people order from you, then you have a 30% market share. Now, if you have 30 people ordering for groceries and 30 people use your brand, for example, Zepto for 60% of the time, and they use Blinkit for 40% of the time, then you have a 60% wallet share. So you need to know market share, wallet share, and you need to find opportunities to increase that by adding more features, more benefits, or adding new lines of business. And then comes the threat. Threat could be government regulations, threat could be economic conditions, environmental conditions, threat could be new competitors entering into the market. Hence, SWOT analysis, and this is not only for service sector, this is for any business, a product, service, manufacturing, any line of business. This is an important strategy to understand what you should do in order to become more competitive and grow your business. Now we come back to, again, another key method used, which is known as the Porter's Five Forces model. Now in the Porter's Five Forces model, we use a tool which leverages five different threats or forces that define a company's performance. So this includes the supplier power. So how good are your suppliers? Now a business's strength depends on the suppliers. For example, we'll go back to the same example of quick commerce. Now for quick commerce, for a Zepto or a Blinkit, to deliver groceries or complete orders within 10 minutes. They may have the best technology, they may have a fleet of delivery partners, but they also need to have store partners who can provide them with supplies in time. So supplier power becomes important. Supplier power is one that could either give you a competitive advantage or could slow down your growth. Then comes buyer power. Your prospective customers define your business growth. Do they buy more from you? Do they buy more often from you? Do they buy more from your competitors? Why they buy from you? Why they buy from a competitor? So the buyer has the power to take your business either forward or towards degrowth. Then you have competitive rivalry. So Zepto competes with Blinkit, and then you have other new startups or bigger ones getting into. Even a small retail store could be a competition, right? A small retail store servicing 500 residential apartments is your small competitor, but is your competitor, right? He may give a visiting card, a WhatsApp number to 500 housing apartments that, okay, order from me, I'll deliver within 5 minutes, you could pay me later, right? He may give you an option that pay me once a month, order every day. So such small grocery stores across the city put together become a big competition to beat. So competition again has the power, like suppliers and buyer, to affect your business growth. Then substitution threat, right? Your entire industry, your business could be substituted. For example, smartphones have become a substitution threat for DSLR cameras, right? People go on vacations and they don't carry digital or DSLR cameras. Film cameras have become obsolete. So smartphones, which are not a direct category of comparison to cameras, have become a substitution threat. Not just cameras, now smartphones have become a substitution threat for scanners, right? If you had to scan documents, you'll have to go to a store and get the document scanned, or you'll have to buy a printer and scanner and get it scanned. But now you have scanning apps on every smartphone. So smartphones have become a substitution threat for cameras and scanners and a lot of other products and services. So supplier power, buyer power, competition, substitution threat, and then you also have the threat of new entrants. Not just your existing competitors, you always have the threat of new entrants. For example, the insurance space in India, they always had LIC, ICICI, HDFC, SBI, Bajaj. So that's the competitive rivalry. But now you suddenly see digital insurance companies like Ditto, Acko, Digit make entry. So these are new entrants, and these are now given competition, stiff competition for new customer acquisition and subscription renewals to existing players like LIC, ICICI, and HDFC. So as per the Porter's five forces model, there are distinct five forces which could affect the sustainability and the growth of an organization, both service and product. First, the supplier power. Second, the power which the buyer has, then your competitive rivalry, then substitution threat from any other industry which may be loosely or closely related to the value that you offer, and the threat of new entrants. Now, how do you implement an integrated strategy, right? If you have done your SWOT analysis, if you understood the five elements as per the Porter's analysis, how do you implement an integrated strategy, which would be a combination of aspects such as store location, product assortment, pricing, and advertising? But from a retail space, if you're running a physical retail organization, all these become important aspects for your business growth. Store location is the very important option. How easy it is for customers to travel to your store, right? Is there enough adequate parking available? Is there public transport available for people to travel to your store? Is your store visible enough for people passing by, right? The product assortment, the collection of products, the sorting, the display, the pricing. For example, why do you think DMart is a big competition to other retail outlets? It's because of their pricing. then how do you advertise your retail chain or your retail store? How do you reach out to your customers if you have a Diwali offer, a Christmas offer, a New Year offer? How do you reach out to your customers? How do you evaluate the performance regularly against set parameters, objectives, metrics, and manage the opportunities and errors? So once you have set standards for performance, for example, retail stores usually measure the revenue per square feet. That's a common metric that retail industry uses. So if you have a 1,000 square feet retail store, or if you have a 10,000 square feet retail store, a common metric to compare and judge is the revenue that you generate per square feet. So everything that you do, right, from the way you put your display racks, your wall hangings, your product displays, your sorting, your pricing counters or banners, how do you measure or compare in terms of your revenue per square feet, and how do you improve upon that? So set a target. Now, target has to be benchmarked with others. What are other companies making, other retail stores making? How do you stack up against them? And how do you keep on improving your individual store's performance? So let's look at factors that would drive the retail location strategy. Obviously, as we said, visibility is important. The customer should conveniently be able to locate the retail store, right? If I'm living, say, 10 kilometers away from a retail store and I receive a newspaper pamphlet about a very good offer, right? Maybe buy one, get one free on a particular product category, or say 25% off above purchase of 5,000 rupees. So if my budget usually for the monthly grocery shopping is 6,000 rupees, I'm eligible to get 25% off. That's lucrative for me. So I would decide, okay, let me just go to this retail store and let me check it out. So I may just go on maybe Google Maps, I may tap the address, and I may reach the location. But then your retail store needs to be visible when I reach there. I shouldn't be really asking for directions, then where is this store, where is this outlet? Once a customer is in close vicinity, in the same lane, at the same geographical location, your store needs to be visible for the customer to identify and conveniently walk inside the store. Then there needs to be adequate parking. The retail store should be located at a place which offers adequate parking space for customers to park their vehicles and shop. I should not be worried about my car being towed away, right? Otherwise, I will not be willing to spend a lot of time inside, and hence I may not shop for a lot of additional stuff. So I should be at calm, at peace, that my vehicle is parked safely and I can spend a few hours shopping if needed. Then it may need to be facility of local transportation. Not everybody would use their own cars or two-wheelers to visit your retail store. So there needs to be a facility of local transport, right? Local trains, buses, rickshaws. How a customer who does not have a vehicle can reach your retail store. The place should be popular amongst local population. That gives you more footfalls even without having to advertise, right? A place where people hang out. So if you have a retail store where people usually hang out in the evenings with family and friends, you will get more footfalls compared to having a retail store isolated somewhere where people don't frequent. So you will lose out on possible customers if you are not placed in a popular physical location. And then comes accessibility for pedestrians at the site. So the retail outlet must have a good access in terms of customers being able to walk towards the outlet. Another key factor is the sales potential of where your store is located. So when you would have done a market research, you would have identified your target customer segment. So if you talk about accessibility, visibility, it has to be for your target customer potential. That defines your sales potential. For example, we discussed about having an organic grocery store compared to a general grocery store. So you need to place your organic retail store at a place where you have enough people, enough prospective customers who are interested to go and pay premium to buy organic, healthy products. So sales potential is another key factor which should drive your retail location strategy. You should have a site that may have all the above potential: location, visibility, transport, but it should also have a good sales potential. It should be located within or close enough to your target customer group. Thank you very much.